Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which is considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Both the Bhagavatas are completely competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as the book Bhagavat, because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat. And the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavats. Bhagavat, book, and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion to the path of devotion. But actually these are facts explained by Srila Naradev, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus, who were also called the Bhaktivedantas, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of this maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality Sri Naradev. These are the miraculous effects of the association of the Bhagavats. And to understand these effects, but practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavats, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavats, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavat, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat. And the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. Again, the translation. By regular attendance in the classes of the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Beautiful verse. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpaturu Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So a disclaimer. In the last year, I have not read much of the Bhagavatam, or in fact, reading has slipped in my own sadhana. So when Nandan Prabhu, Nishkinchana Prabhu asked me to give this Bhagavatam class, initially I said no, but then I read the verse and I thought, actually, when Srila Prabhupada says, when you get off the horse, the best thing to do is just get back on the horse. So I thought by researching and studying the power of the Bhagavats, or especially the Bhagavatam, I thought it would induce me to regain and jump back on the horse of reading regularly. So that was a disclaimer. So that being said, not many realizations, a few borrowed realizations from great souls, and also from the Bhagavatam itself that I wanted to share today. Srila Prabhupada, in his lecture of this verse, I wanted to read. He starts the actual whole lecture saying, So here it is said, Bhagavat Sevaya, not Bhagavan Sevaya. Bhagavan is Krishna, and Bhagavat means in relationship to Bhagavan. One who has got relationship with Bhagavan. So here it is recommended, Bhagavat Sevaya, not Bhagavan Sevaya. The idea is that you cannot approach Bhagavan directly. There are two types of Bhagavats, the book and the devotee, as discussed in the purport. He quotes a conversation that happened in the Shiv Purana between Lord Shiva and his good wife Parvati, where Parvati approaches Lord Shiva and says, "My Lord, what is the topmost worship?" Lord Shiva contemplates on it and he says, "Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param." He says that, "My dear Parvati, of all methods of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the best." And then he says that better than the worship of Vishnu is to worship his devotee or the things in relationship with him, tadiyam. This is Bhagavat, tadiya, which means you can get like a tadiya shila or tadiya paraphernalia, something that is in connection to the original. So both the devotee and the books that describe the glorifications of the Lord and his devotees are qualified as Bhagavats here. So I wanted to discuss both of these and see what the scriptures have to say about the two types of avenues we have to get closer to Krishna. When being in a Hindu family, half of us were based at Amana and half of us were just like Hindus going to Sanatan Dharma and stuff and temples and stuff, but dry philosophy and a lot of mental speculation. And on one half of the camp, shall we say Srila Prabhupada's camp, it was very clear that you're not going to love Krishna unless you love his devotees. And the other side is like, yeah, but you take the prasad, you do a little prayer, and we have the bhakti anyway. It's just about the love without the service. And their emphasis was about approaching the Lord directly. Whereas under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, we very much understand and appreciate the importance of going through the devotee and through the scriptures. So if we look at serving the devotees, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna in 434, that the importance of approaching the devotee, the mood in which we approach the devotee, is key. And you'll see through the following comments, for both the devotee and the book, approaching both the Bhagavats, it's actually the mood, the intention and the motivation that takes us to that personality, be it the person or the book, which is the key factor from differentiating us in our time in spiritual life. Everybody in spiritual life does some sort of meditation and has some sort of sangha. But what differentiates one from who progresses to the point of nishtha or naishtaki, firm conviction that the Lord is the supreme enjoyer, controller and maintainer, where Krishna's position in your heart is an irrevocable fact. He can no longer come and go. It's fixed. Is about the intention. So in 434 in the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments, "The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. By independent study of the books of knowledge, one cannot progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige." We're now remembering Trinada P, this mood of how we approach the spiritual master or the devotees. "Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. I was in a class once, and what's his name? Bhakti Rasamita Swami. And somebody asked a question and said, Maharaj. And he asked one of the standard questions, hoping for a new answer. And Maharaj said, why is it that the devotees around the world can come up with unlimited ways of asking the same question when there's just a limited answer, which is ABCD, you know, associate with the devotees, read the book sincerely, chant the holy name humbly, and eat Krishna Prasadam consciously. But everyone wants a new answer. Now, if we're presenting to the outside, to the non-devotees, then fine, we have to, you know, scratch our brains and really research and think, how can we present it nicely? And Srila Prabhupada showed that example, how he was able to say it's an ocean of LSD, and, you know, in Massachusetts about the technology people, and how he would keep reframing it. But to the devotees, ultimately, we need to just come to the point of, rather than finding a new answer, we have to find a new way of approaching the answers that are there. Unless there is a submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. And this is how we can go from jnana, just reading the book, gaining information, to transformation, where it becomes realized. Then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses the story of Narada Muni. And most of you know, but just for the benefit of those who don't, and for us to remember, that he was a denizen of the heavenly planets, a demigod. He was very beautiful, attractive, powerful. He was enjoying the pleasures of heaven, shall we say. And at that time, one of the demigods organized a gathering to have some worship of Lord Krishna. So they all came together, but Narada Muni was being inattentive, and he was, in his mind, he was equating the worship of Krishna as the same as the powerful demigods. So the organizer of this party chastised Narada for his impudence and ignorance, and cursed him to go and live in this hell, or in their opinion, this hellish planet, the earth, in these middle planets. And he became the son of a maidservant. And the story goes that in the Chaturmasa, the rainy seasons, for 4 months, the Bhaktivedantas, or the Bhagavats, as Srila Prabhupada comments in this purport, they came and they took residence in her ashram in the village, where he was only a four-year-old boy. So my son's soon going to be 3 years old, and so it's got quite a lot of relevance to me, because this young little boy is only 1 year older than my boy. He's there, and he's very eager to hear what these Bhaktivedantas have to say. He has the good fortune, which we'll come to in a minute, he had the good fortune to eat the remnants of the prasadam left by the Bhaktivedantas. The Bhaktivedantas were talking about Krishna Katha, and they picked up, he picked up the information and the leela of Krishna, and he became interested, and he was told this mantra. Soon after, his mother got bit by a snake and left her body. And at the age of 5, he went to the forest. He chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, which is the Maha Mantra for that age. And there he found Krishna in his heart. Krishna then told him that no longer will you see me, but carry on with this sadhana, this practice of mantra meditation, which he did very strictly, very seriously, and very attentively. And the rest of his life, he never saw Vishnu again. But at the time of death, his spiritual being came out of the body, and that was Narada Muni. And he's a celebrated traveling representative of the Lord across the three worlds, or 14 worlds. So what I found very interesting in this, and also there's another pastime of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. The prostitute was sent by Ramachandra Khan to defame him. And it said in Rupa Vilas's book, what's it called? Haridas Thakur? The book on Haridas Thakur by Rupa Vilas, probably. It says in chapter 2 how she came from a culture where it was It was normal to respect saintly people and saintly items. Although she was performing such abominable acts, the culture was normal to, like the British culture, it's normal even if you hate someone, say, good morning, sir. So she had that element in her. So when she came to Haridas Thakur's kutir, she paid obeisances first to the great sage and then to Tulsi Maharani. And then she waited and addressed him her desire, and then she waited, and by his pure chanting, she was transformed from her lusty desires and evil desires into becoming a great chanter of the holy names of Krishna. So in both of these stories, when I was discussing with some devotee friends, it was interesting because neither the prostitute nor Narada Muni themselves had the qualification to be able to take that Bhagavat association fully. What enabled them to get to be able to benefit from the association as much as they did was Agyata Sukriti, or the mercy of another devotee. In Narada's situation, it was his mother. If his mother wasn't there, the Bhaktivedantas wouldn't have stayed at a four-year-old person's ashram. It was because she was cooking nicely that they stayed, and it was also because of his mother's arrangement that he was having the remnants, and that he was healthy enough to be able to hear attentively. So all of these different factors. And I was just thinking in terms of my son, if my wife didn't bring him to the temple, if she didn't read him books, then Krishna would just be another guy on TV. But it's because of somebody else, it's because of another devotee's endeavor that we get the opportunity to take the advantage of other devotees' mercy. And it's because of the prostitutes paying obeisances to the sage and Tulsi Maharani, she got the Yogyata Sukriti to be able to hear and absorb the Shakti of Haridas Thakur. Once on a morning walk, this is in the Memories DVD, in a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada was walking, and the devotees were discussing about mercy. And then one devotee asked the question to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how is it that two devotees can be in the same situation but one makes more advancement? And he says, what is it with you lot? Why are you always trying to find the formula for causeless mercy? There is no formula. It's causeless. So I heard that, and I remembered a conversation I had with one of my mentors. And I was asking also about causeless, but then like there must have been like cause and effect. There must have been some cause remotely. And he said, causeless means that not that there was no cause. It means that the effect of the cause is disproportionate, cannot be reasoned with the cause. So for instance, if I give you £5 and you give me £1 million back, there is no explanation for the logic behind it. It cannot be understood. And that's why Srila Prabhupada stated that try not to understand the causeless mercy, just take advantage of it and be eager for it, he said in that morning walk. So from the story of Narada and Haridas Thakur, we can see how we very much depend on the devotees to be able to absorb the mercy of the other devotees. Once Tamal Krishna Goswami said in a lecture, he said, this is one of my favorite sutras, he said that bhakti comes from bhakta. It's very small. It can mean a lot. And for me, it's just as simple as it sounds. If you feel lack in your spiritual life, if you're feeling depleted, if you're feeling like you need some more shakti, then take shelter of the devotees. And then finally, in the Adi Purana, which is quoted in the Nectar Devotion, Chapter 7, Krishna says to Arjuna, he says, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. So Krishna very boldly states now how important it is that we take shelter of his devotees. And we sing every morning, Shakshat Dharit Vena Samastishashtu. So how that by the mercy of the devotee we get the mercy of the Lord. then one could say, by the mercy of the Lord, we get the mercy of the devotee. But this is that cycle that is difficult to understand. Then we move on to the service to the book or the Bhagavatam. There's so many quotes. I've just selected a few. So in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, it states how the Bhagavat Puran provides the highest truth, which distinguishes illusion, which is reality distinguished from illusion, for the highest welfare of all. It says it is sufficient for God realization in itself. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the proper method of hearing the Bhagavatam is to hear it submissively. And the word quoted is Surushu, and also in 7.1 of the Bhagavad Gita, Tatshrinu, the importance of hearing properly, is stated. Srila Prabhupada carries on and says, one must be anxious to hear. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. The process is simple, which is very frustrating when I hear that, because I always hit a stumbling block in being able to extract the nectar of the Bhagavatam. It says, the process is simple, but the application is difficult. Unfortunate people find enough time to hear ideal social and political conversations, but when invited to attend a meeting of devotees to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, they suddenly become reluctant. I've many times have found here in Vrindavan and Mayapur, just generally in temples, that after the morning kirtan, especially in Mayapur and Vrindavan, I found, after the morning kirtan, then there becomes the whole, chit-chat by the Mahaprasadam stalls and everything. You just catch up with everyone, and that's a rendezvous point, really, meet at Guru Puja, and then you start talking along. And everyone's in the temple room, happily talking along, and in the cartels, Jai Radha Madhava, and then people just split. They go outside. So they've got so much, they're able to talk and hear each other. But when it comes to the time of hearing the Bhagavatam, then people then think, okay, well, let's just carry on with our day, which is, again, more and more chit-chat. I myself found for many years, until I got told off by one of my mentors, I would always check who's giving class on the poster outside. And then I would decide whether I'm going to class or not. And then one of my mentors told me, you're going to hear the Bhagavatam, not the speaker. The speaker's a transmitter, and you don't know who Krishna will provide you to learn your next lesson. So you should go in that mood. And then the following verse, 113, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but it is the ripened fruit. It is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all of this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. So we can now meditate just for a moment. When we're doing our studies, when we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or when we're listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam given by someone else, how patient are we to allow the message to land? How patient are we to stay awake, firstly? And how submissive are we to allow to see in this way that my mentor told me, that Krishna is speaking to you through this person? If you just wait, maybe something that is needed in your heart will come. And how many, raise your hands, how many of you sat in a class where you felt like the speaker is speaking all about your life? And you're thinking, whoa, what is going on? Why does he know all of this? I didn't tell him. It happens all the time when my spiritual master gives class, when I'm present. I just feel like, oh my God, I didn't tell him that yet. And he's just talking and talking. And about staying awake, once I was sitting where that Prabhuji is there in Ramanuja Prabhu's class, and I completely fell asleep. And when you're sleeping, you're like half there, half not there. And he just said, Krishna Kirtan! I was like, whoa! I just woke up like that. And he said, do not sleep in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is talking to you. And I was like, whoa. So then I was just like this for the remaining part of the class. It was Ramanuja Prabhu. It completely shook me up. So it's important to be patient and submissive when hearing the Bhagavatam. Then 1.3.44 in the purport, the secret of knowing the Bhagavatam is given to us by Srila Prabhupada. It says that you need rapt attention. But in order to have rapt attention, you need purity in mind. In order to have purity in mind, we must be pure in action. And in order to be pure in action, we must be pure in following the four regulative principles. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Once Andrew Prabhu commented to a devotee friend who told me, he says, when I read the Bhagavatam, it's non-different to me doing my japa, which is non-different for me to doing my kirtan, which is non-different for me dressing Radha Shamsundar. And just to show, when one gets the taste of seeing Krishna in the pages of the scriptures, he had mentioned that he had read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita 192 times. So Andhra Prabhu was just severe and intense about everything. Many know about his kirtan, but 192 times Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Just let that drop, you know. And then 2844, Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada's purport says, Maharaj Parikshit had no more than 7 days to live. But for others, Maharaj Parikshit personally recommended that one hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's three qualifications he gives. Nityam, which means regularly. Svachestitam, which means always by one's own effort. So it needs your serious effort. And Shraddhaya, by your serious faith. That will help one to see Lord Krishna manifested in one's heart within no time. So it's not a matter of how I've seen it in the past, where, okay, I'll read the Gita, the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then I'll just wait and wait and wait, and then I'll get some taste. Prabhupada says, within no time, but you have to apply these three things. It needs to be regularly. It needs to be with sincere, serious effort, and it has to be with your conscious application of faith. We see from the pastime of Mother Yashoda trying to bind up Krishna, that first Krishna wanted to see extra endeavor, and then he gave extra mercy. But it's because, it's not that she just put extra endeavor in and then had a break, and then tried again, had a break, and tried again. She just did not stop putting the endeavor in. And in verse 113 of the Bhagavatam, there's a word rasa alayam, and Kadamakana Swami comments how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Nisata Darshani comments how rasa alayam, Vishwanath speaks of how when, if you are always reading the Bhagavatam, what happens is you experience alayam, fainting, one of the eight ecstatic symptoms in devotional ecstasy. But if you faint, Vishwanath says, then how can you hear the Bhagavatam? Because now you're unconscious. And Vishwanath says, well, don't worry. As soon as you wake up, you pick up the Bhagavatam again. And you just keep fainting, and you keep trying, you keep fainting, and you keep reading. So Mother Yashoda also, she never gave up. As soon as she was not able to bind him, she quickly ran to her neighbors. She engaged people in Sankirtan. She got more ropes, and with the combined efforts of everyone's ropes, she was able to bind Krishna. So from that expansion of the Damodar Leela, which was explained by Andhra Prabhu, of how it was not only the perspiration of Mother Yashoda to bind Krishna, it was that Mother Yashoda engaged others in her pursuit to bind Krishna, that Krishna was accepted to be bound by his mother's love. So this nityam, this always. So we can think, I need to think, how much am I taking shelter of the Bhagavatam? In the past, you would have to go to a sadhu, they would have the Bhagavatam, and you would have to write the whole Bhagavatam down, which you can then take in your bag and go off and carry on reading the Bhagavatam. For us now, it's ridiculously easy. ridiculously easy. Yet still the fickle mind, my fickle mind, which is not putting in my adequate effort, nor with adequate faith, keeps switching from, on my tablet and phone, from Bhagavatam to BBC Sport, or from Bhagavatam to WhatsApp, from Bhagavatam to falling asleep. But I've never ever fallen asleep doing my work, dentistry, because I appreciate the value of, if I can't afford to fall asleep, otherwise a huge law case. But I have not yet been able to appreciate the value of the Bhagavatam. I've got the knowledge, but it hasn't become realized knowledge. So also by delivering this class today, I'm hoping also I get blessings of the Bhagavatam and also you Bhagavats, that, you know, my endeavor, not even 2018, but from today, can, and my faith can increase manyfold. There's a story of Dundakari from the Puranas. It's a very long story, but in essence, Dundakari was, there were two sons of a father called Atmadev. There's a nice video, I think, online from the Pandavasena mentorship trip where Sachinanda Maharaj directed a drama with some devotees in. So if you can find that, that will better capture the emotion. But there was one father, Atmadev, who had two sons, Gokaran and Dundakari. Gokaran was a very pious son. Dundakari was an abominable son. Dundakari was stealing from his father. His mother committed suicide because she couldn't handle him, and he had five wives who he was stealing from. Eventually, the five wives killed him and buried him in his own house. Gokaran was a traveling mendicant. One villager told him that your brother Dundakari is now dead and his ghost is in the house. So Gokaran went. He approached a sadhu who said, you should recite the Srimad Bhagavatam to him for 7 days and this will purify him. But he said, I've already done the Shraddha ceremony. Why is his spirit still there? And the sadhu explained, just because you do Shraddha, if somebody's soul has so many unfulfilled bad desires, it still will not be enough. They need the mercy of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Lord. So Gokaran arranges one nice place with a banyan tree to give katha, just like Shukadev Goswami did and just like Suta Goswami did. So he gave the katha for 7 days, and on each, at the end of each day, one of the branches in the banyan tree formed a knot and fell. On the seventh day, the seventh knot was tied, and from the tree came Dundakari's spiritual form. One of the Vishnu Dutas came down, Lord Vishnu's carriers, came down from the spiritual world to collect him and take him back to the spiritual world. But Gokaran was bewildered. He said, oh, Prabhu, what's going on here? Everybody here in the assembly was listening to the Bhagavat, same katha. Why are you taking Dundakari, who in some sense was the most unqualified because he had done so much sin? The Vishnu Duta said, because he heard with the most rapt attention. Nobody else was feeling in a situation where they needed it as much as him. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he got liberation, perfection, because he really, really, really desperately needed to learn the message from Sukadev Goswami. And that desperation resulted in rapt attention. So then the Vishnu Duta said, look, don't worry. You do the katha again, and I promise you everybody will receive perfection. So Gokaran performs the same Bhagavat katha for 7 days. And at the end of that katha, because everybody had seen and learnt from the example of Dundakari, they all achieved liberation because they earnestly and with rapt attention heard the message of the Bhagavatam. So we also can see how the lovers of the Bhagavatam, if we can see how they are approaching the Bhagavatam, then we can follow their example. I was always inspired by Mother Kalangana. undoubtedly a pure devotee even before her miraculous departure, of how she would come and sit in a Bhagavad Gita class. And I think, if, forgive me if I'm mistaken, but she would hear Bhagavad Gita class every evening in her room anyway, from Joel Bloggs. So these examples, Hare Krishna Prabhu, and Vishwamba Prabhu always comes to the Bhagavatam class, even after all these years, and so many of the brahmacharis. So we can see from the examples just in amongst us, we don't even have to take faith from what is in the book just around us, how much faith people have in the Bhagavatam, and we can ask them for their mercy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained all the science of Krishna consciousness to Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami's first reply was thank you, and he said, now please bless me. He asked for blessing. Now please bless me that I can realize all of this. Let's see. Okay, and then going back to Srila Prabhupada's lecture to finish off, he says, in this way, this is the end of his lecture to this verse, in this way, when almost the dirty things are cleared off. So just to put it in context, why is it saying that it's almost completely destroyed? These 6-7 verses that we're looking at in the Bhagavatam, they are describing the 9 stages of devotional perfection, starting from Shraddha, all the way to Prem. And this particular verse is talking about Nishta, and the previous one is talking about Bhajana Kriya. So Nishta is the point where unsteady devotional service transforms into steady devotional service. Mother Umala once drew a mountain in Germany when she was giving a seminar, and she said the first 4 stages of devotional life seem like an uphill struggle. But then you get to the top where you can rest. Nishta. From that point, you could fall back. But having gone through all of that struggle, you'd be so foolish to fall backwards. By the time you've got to the top, which is Nishta, where you're steady now on the platform of the top of the mountain, you're so excited now to do the easy part, which is just rolling down. Because from Nishta onwards, it becomes a lot more smooth. So worship and service to the 2 Bhagavats brings us to the platform of Nishta. There'll still be some anarthas, or to speak Bharat Maharaj, fell from the platform of Bhava, which is nearly at the end of the end of the scale. So there'll still be some things. We should not expect that I'll be completely pure devotee at the point of Nishta. But it's these 2 same processes that help us go from Nishta all the way to Prem as well. So it's the same. It's these 2 Bhagavats are what take us from Shraddha all the way to Prem. And when you got Prem, they're the 2 same things that we take shelter of, like Gadadhar Pandit. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Of how even at that elevated stage in Gadadhar Pandit, they still always took shelter of the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya himself, the 2 favorite stories he would like to hear from the Bhagavatam, Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj. So it's not that these things are stepping stone to something greater. These 2 are the stepping stone and the goal as well. So Srila Prabhupada says, not all. As soon as all dirty things are cleared off, then we are liberated soul. Immediately love of God, the original consciousness, and something for Krishna, something for sense enjoyment. That means still the dirty things are there. But the more we engage our time, nityam, Bhagavata sevaya, the dirty things become cleansed gradually. Again, he's bringing in the point about patience. In this way, nasta prayeshu, gradual process. Not all cleansed, but praya, say 75% cleansed. At that time, you become fixed up in devotional service. Naistaki, a fixed devotee. Time is short, so there are 6 qualities that differentiate unsteadiness from steady devotional service, which I encourage you to just to look up in the Nectar of Devotion or on Google. And Sutta Prabhupada once at the Manor gave a fantastic class sharing examples and practical tips of what we can do to go from unsteadiness to steadiness. There's also a seminar by Bhaktitirtha Swami, which you can find online, about Nishta, which previously we had notes, but unfortunately I've waffled on too much. I'll finish off with the 75% that Srila Prabhupada comments in his lecture. I asked a few devotees, where did he get 75% from? Like, it's just like, why not 70, why not 90%? And then somebody reminded me of a story that Dinabandhu Prabhu says, which happened in a class with Srila Prabhupada. I think it's Dallas. Is that where he's from? Wherever Dinabandhu is from. So Dinabandhu Prabhu said that Srila Prabhupada was giving class, and he was talking in a very heavy way that we have to attain perfection in bhakti, in devotional life. And all of these young 20, 25-year-olds are sitting there looking at their, in pure love, looking at their eternal spiritual master, but just feeling like pure, you know, Narada Muni, I mean, it's like, I'm here, it's like, you know, they're just feeling really heavy, like, Prabhupada wants pure devotional service, become a pure devotee. And then obviously Srila Prabhupada, being such a compassionate father and guide, he could feel the atmosphere in the room. So at the end of the class, he said, okay, as he was coming off the Vyasasana, and there were some steps to that specific Vyasasana, similar to here, and he said, okay, 90%. So the devotees had a little smile, just like some of you are now. You know, you think, okay, God, okay. But 90%, God, still, Narada Muni, 90% of that. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, 80% on the next step. And there was one step left. So some devotees were like a little bit happy. Some devotees saying, there's still one more step to go, you know. So 75% and no less. So Srila Prabhupada, similarly how he took Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mercy from 64 rounds daily down to 16 rounds, he also extended the mercy of the Shastra, that you have to attain pure perfection, complete purity, down to 75% purity. Kadambakarna Maharaj gives a nice metaphor where he says that every day, in the day of Brahma, there is a wave of mercy coming onto the beach. But once in a day of Brahma is a big tsunami, that is Lord Chaitanya mercy, that completely washes up the beach. And then he explains that there's a volcano which is so hot, which is burning the conditioned souls. And he explains that at some point in that day of Brahma, in Lord Chaitanya's time, there is a great, great Mahajan, Srila Prabhupada, who helps carry people from the burning volcano, from the samsara, off the volcano to be bathed by the mercy, cooling mercy of Gaura Nithai. But now we are in the marathon, and I wanted to add my own realization, that within Srila Prabhupada's mercy, within that one day of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, are his sincere followers. And the sincere followers in this month, this freezing, ice-cold month, which is a month supposedly of personalism, where people are supposed to be very personal and be thinking of God and grace, are becoming very impersonal because everybody just wants to get drunk, buy shopping, spend money, and people are in a rush to do their shopping and they don't want to spend much time. And these sincere servants of Srila Prabhupada are standing in the cold to further help Srila Prabhupada to gather these souls who are on the burning volcano, who don't want to come to the temple, who don't want to practice meditation or yoga, but they're just there. We are going in to the hottest part of the volcano, onto the high streets of London, and the streets of the world, extracting them and saying, hey, do you want to associate with the Bhagavats? Do you want to be called down by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. And so we can try in this month to assist this program of book distribution. And you can think of this metaphor, how fortunate we are to be in this tsunami of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada has helped pull us off the volcano. But we've got an opportunity to pull other people and give them the opportunity to come to Nishtha and attain pure love of Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Not just some vague spiritual life, but the ripened fruit and the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Now, that may mean that we go out on the street and we assist Vishwambha Prabhu, Sutta Prabhu and the other devotees to distribute books. It may mean that when they come back, we give them a nice hug. We make them a hot tea. It may mean that when the book scores are being read, we don't just, you know, use that time to just, you know, say Hari Bol to people, but we very attentively say Hari Bol because we appreciate their sacrifice. It may mean that we go to the kitchen and help the cooks cook up a little bit of extra prasadam. So many ways we can help book distribution. For inspiration, for those who don't know, you can look to Vishwambha Prabhu, Sutta Prabhu, and also online to Vaisheshika Prabhu. And his website is? What's his website? Fan the Spark? Fan the Spark. So please, as a community, let's get behind our book distribution program in this month. There's only a week left. Do whatever we can. Against all odds is the motto. So in our own spiritual life, we're fighting against so many obstacles. But taking shelter of these two Bhagavats, the book and the devotee, will help us. And giving the Bhagavats to other people will further deepen our faith and our practice in appreciating the Bhagavats that come into our life. Hopefully that helps and inspires you. It definitely has inspired me. And I commit myself to all of you in front of the Lord that I will again start the practice of reading Srila Prabhupada's books more regularly, with more faith and with more endeavor. And the Govardhan Eco Farm have produced really nice study books, which I find very useful, called the Bhagavat Subodhini and now the Chaitanya Subodhini, which can further enhance your studies as well. We can maybe take one question and then we'll go for breakfast. Hare Krishna.